Well, thank you, and it's a privilege to get to speak with you tonight. And I hope that I can get through this within my 5 minutes' time. I brought cards because if I stay on theme, I will get through in a shorter amount of time instead of taking all your evening up. It is a privilege to talk a little bit about my life. And my life is a story of God's faithfulness. And to start, I would like to take you all back with me about 30 years ago. I was sitting in a waiting room waiting for the results of my husband's surgery. He had been diagnosed with melanoma, and the doctor had told him if the disease had infiltrated his lymph nodes, he would probably not live through the year. So this is a tense moment for a young mother and a young wife. And as I was sitting in the waiting room, a thought came to my mind. I remembered a favorite pastor who had said, if you can't take the daily attack of the mosquito, how will you handle the charge of the elephant? That really didn't make much sense to me until that moment, because as I'm sitting here in my own concern, I'm looking around and I see a family, and they are filled with utter despair and tears, and it's a very difficult time for this family. And I'm thinking in my heart, how can I help these people? But as that saying reflected, I realized there was really nothing I could do to convey the great depth of the faithfulness of God to this family in a moment of time. That requires faithful building up a relationship with God to understand and use that strength. So at this point, I think, okay, how about myself? How about all of us? Do we have that faithfulness? Do we have faith in God's faithfulness? You know, or do we going to wait to the last minute when times are tough to figure this one out? As I reflected on that, I thought back about my life, and I said, you know, the earliest point of my spiritual awareness that I could reflect upon was as a child, and my father had died, leaving my mother a widow of four young children. And does God really take care of the widow and the orphan? I wondered. I really didn't know, but I certainly hoped that that was the case. There's a scripture in Ephesians 4:14 that talks about being infants tossed to and fro by every wind of teaching. Well, I was that infant, and I was on a journey. I was on a journey to become at the better place of the equipping of God's people. And at that point, I realized I needed someone in my life bigger and better in control. I was not adequate to handle what I faced in life. So as I grew and graduated from high school and entered college, I knew that the right road for me would be God's road, but I listened to God with one ear, and I listened to the world with the other ear. I was a little half-hearted in my devotions. Nonetheless, God in His grace drew me to a wonderful young man named Buddy Wood, and we met and married within a year's time. I loved him. I loved his personality, his strength of character, his sense of humor, and his love for God's Word. We lived a fairy tale life in many respects. We had two beautiful children, and everything seemed to be going pretty well for us. However, even as a spouse in a happy marriage, I realized that a spouse is not going to fulfill that God-shaped void in my life. So though we had a similar vision of our marriage, a Christ-centered vision of our marriage, we had to be equipped. We needed equipping with God's Word and the power of His Spirit. So in our early 20s, we began a systematic approach to studying God's Word. My brother had introduced us to an expository teacher, so every morning we began getting up early to study God's Word in depth. Year after year, we maintain this habit. God's Word does not return unto Him void. So we matured as a couple and as individuals, and Buddy blossomed into a remarkable spiritual leader in our family, in our church, and in his workplace as well. And God uniquely qualified him to face the melanoma when it returned as brain cancer 25 years later. When asked how he faced terminal illness, Buddy would say, "I cling to God's Word. It is my life preserver. I choose the high ground. I choose to use this experience for God's glory." And thirdly, he would say, "Scripture says, in everything, give thanks. Not for everything, but in the sphere of everything, be thankful." And then he'd say, "It feels good to have a thankful heart." I say thank you, Buddy, for teaching me about the great faithfulness of God. In your life and in your death, I learned how to live as your widow. So to answer that question that I ask in the waiting room, do I have faith in God's provision? Do I have a spiritual reserve from which to live my life? You know, I have to say yes, because through the years, God has taught me His faithfulness as a fatherless child, as a young adult, as a wife and mother, and even now as a widow and grandmother. He has never failed. In conclusion, God will not fail you either. My highest and best advice for any young woman is to take hold of an in-depth daily Bible study and stick with it. Then you will be equipped for what comes your way, whether it's the mosquito attack or the charge of the elephant. Thank you.
All right, are there any other names that have not been put in the bag? Just raise your hand. I'll come get them. All right, so we have... Go ahead.
I brought. I give these for married wedding presents often, and it's a daily walk Bible. And for lack of a better plan to get into the Word and to learn about who God is, this is a good plan. It's very easy to do, and the more years you read it, the closer you'll be to where you need to be.
Mm-hmm. So. All right, we'll let Penny draw.
Unless someone else wants to. There you go.
Patricia Mars. Yeah. Oh. And Kelly Bassett.
Oh. Where's Patricia?
At her own table. Yay! All right, thank you, Penny. This year, if this is your first meeting, we are so glad to have you. We just want to introduce real fast. So our theme for the year is Beautiful Mess, Embrace Your Story. So we've added the story time here at the beginning so you can get to know a few other women in the group that might not be at your table and hear their story and hear how God has worked in their life to make their messes beautiful. So we are going to welcome now Deshua Joyce. She is the wife of Tom Joyce, the pastor of discipleship and family here at Emmanuel Bible Church. They've been married for 30 years. She was a Navy wife for 20 of those years. Deshua and Tom have 4 grown children and a daughter-in-law who all seem to be very adventurous, which has boosted her need to pray, as well as highlight her hair to keep the gray from showing. She worked at Emmanuel Christian School for 13 years, the last 10 of those years as the coordinator for the Hidden Treasures program, which helps children K through 8 who have learning disabilities. Deshua retired 2 years ago from ICS as she believes that God has other plans for her that he will reveal. This is why she's not retiring, she's actually refiring. For 14 years, Deshua has been a mentor mom for Mops. Being with these young moms has helped keep her young and helps her fulfill the vow she made to God when she had little children. It went something like this. Lord, if I can get through these years and feel I've learned enough to pass on something worthwhile to others, I will gladly serve you as I meet with young moms. Now that Nest is empty, Deshua is becoming reacquainted with crafting and reading and is enjoying spending more time with Tom. So welcome, Deshua.
You're part of my refiring because that was really a passion. I really feel the calling was for 10 years to work with children with learning disabilities. But my heart kept saying, you know, I just really want to be more involved with young moms. Basically because it was very difficult for me when I became a mother. And that is the cry of my heart. It was true. Lord, if I learn anything that I could pass on, I promise I'll do it on the other end. And these meetings every month have just been a blessing to me. And it's just so great to see a room full of young moms. So welcome. This talk tonight is kind of morphed from our planning session in the summer when we talked about what we needed to think of in terms of spiritual input into our children's lives, as well as to another idea was, you know, having fun at the holidays with your children. So I snapped up both of those and said, well, why don't I try to marry the two of them together and give you some ideas about how you can put Christ in the center of your Thanksgiving and Christmas without going crazy yourself, okay? Has anybody ever done that? Done too much? Volunteered too much? You know, I think we've all had that Christmas story or something that we wished wasn't because we just didn't do it well, but we learned from our mistakes, and that's something that you'll be able to talk with your table about. You'll be able to share that. But of all the things I think that God calls us to do as moms, you know, just think, let's think, what are some of the things we need to do besides feed our children? Let's just call them out. Change them. We would like to change them into somebody else sometimes, like the little girl next door or something. Bathe them. Play with them. That's true. Read to them. Some of you may be homeschooling and you're educating them. But of all the things that you do in your day, I don't think anything is more important than sharing your faith with your children. And in order to do that, and Penny so said, and I loved her journey because I've only known the Penny that has been really so on fire for the Lord, so deeply loves him, that it was really interesting to hear that there was a time in her life that one of her ears was tuned to God, but one of her ears was tuned to the world. And I thought, you know, we're so prone to do that. And what we need to do is exercise our own spiritual walk so that we are, let me move back a little so I'm not turning away. So we need to make sure that our spiritual muscles are being exercised so that we can pass that on to our children, because we cannot pass on something that we truly do not have. I know through my children and through other people's children, they can sniff out a hypocrite a mile away. You know, if you're saying something, and wait till they get teenagers, oh my, they know that from the moment that there's, you know, one side is this and one side is that. So while your children are young, it's a great time to get totally on track with God. Make sure, you know, what you do, what you see, what you read, all those things are in tune to something that would be pleasing to God. And then you can pass that on to your children. So tonight, we're going to have that time of things that I have done, but I want you to get this in your mind. I did not do all of these things, and I definitely didn't do multiple things every year with my children. I want you to understand that, because I think sometimes you think that somebody standing up here has done it right all the time, never wavered, never faltered, and man, I could never be like that. Well, you know, that's not true. I've had several failures as a parent, and my kids can tell you what those are. Megan reminds me of them periodically, but they also, to a certain extent, have risen up and call me blessed on Mother's Day and my birthday and so on, and that is a real treasure. What did I say? Oh, yeah. Well, that's the only time they really write to me, write those things down. But I know that they have the respect, and that's really what you want to work with your children. So what we're going to do is talk about ways that we can incorporate Thanksgiving and Christmas and to keep the main thing, which is really a celebration of God's goodness to us and to celebrate the birth of his son. There's so many ideas out there and so many things that you got to, like, look at it and say, you know, what's good, what's not, because otherwise you are going to run yourself ragged trying to do it all. So my suggestion, if, you know, you've got a little child and this might be your first year to incorporate that child into Thanksgiving, choose one thing. Choose one thing from my Christmas ideas. And like I said, they're not all my ideas. The internet is a wealth of ideas out there. And if you're not careful, you'll be spending time on the internet and not with your children. So in moderation. So if I were to tell you that we're quickly coming up until 1 month till Christmas, I think there's a certain amount of people who would kind of quake at that. In our family, and I talked about a little about this last month, we love to tell about 11 months till Christmas. So in January, we will say 11 months till Christmas. Now we go back to Christmas Eve. So the 24th, the 25th is fair game for texting, calling, whatever. And one year I walked into the school office and I just like so excited. It was January and I said, 11 months till Christmas. And I thought I was going to be run out of town by that because it immediately, just the word Christmas puts in a lot of people's hearts, you know, all that you have to do. So we're going to try to, menopause. We're going to try to smooth over things so that, thank you. Do you see I'm getting hot? Okay. So to break the humor, or to break the sadness up, let me add a little humor. This is something I found years ago, but it's so perfect because it's the pendulum swings. Because if I said to you, how many people, like the word craft just excites them? They, you know, I'm signing up, I want to do it. Raise your hand if you think crafts are pretty cool and you're really excited about them. Okay, the rest... How many of you hear the word craft and you walk the other way? You don't want a thing to do with it. So it's kind of like the difference between Martha Stewart and Irma Bombeck, if you can imagine. Martha Stewart writes to Irma, "Hi, Irma. This perfectly delightful note is being sent on paper I made myself to tell you what I've been up to. Since it snowed last night, I got up early and made a sled with old barn wood. And a glue gun. I hand-painted it in gold leaf, got out my loom, and made a blanket in peaches and mauves. Then, to make the sled complete, I made a white horse to pull it from the DNA that I had just sitting around in my craft room. By then, it was time to start making the placemats and napkins for my 20 breakfast guests. I am serving the old standard Stewart 12-course breakfast, but I'll let you in on a little secret. I didn't have time to make the tables and chairs this morning, so I used the ones that I had on hand. Well, I must run. I need to finish the hand-sewed buttonholes on the dress I'm wearing for breakfast. I'll get out the sled and drive this note to the post office as soon as the glue dries on the envelope I'll be making. Hope my breakfast guests don't stay too long. I have 40,000 cranberries to string with bay leaves before my speaking engagement at noon. But... it's a good thing. Love, Martha. Dear Martha, I'm writing this on the back of an old shopping list. Pay no attention to the coffee and jelly stains. I'm 20 minutes late getting my daughter off for school, packing a lunch with one hand on the phone with a dog pound. Seems old rough, needs bailing out again. Burnt my arm on the curling iron. when I was trying to make those cute curly fries. How do they do that? Still can't find the scissors to cut out some snowflakes. Tried using an old disposable razor. Trashed the tablecloth. Tried that cranberry thing. Frozen cranberries mushed up after I defrosted them in the microwave. Oh, and don't use Fruity Pebbles as a substitute for the Rice Krispies. The snowball recipe, unless you like food that resembles, well, you know. Smoke alarm is going off. Talk to you later. Love, Irma. So I imagine in this room, we've got Irmas and we have a Marthas. And that's okay. Because God uses everybody with their own personality for their own things. And so don't look at somebody else's talent as the talent you would like. Or you couldn't possibly be as good a mother because you don't do X, Y, and Z. But you're a good mother in so many other areas, most likely, that other person's struggling with. I had my struggles. I could not spin too many plates at the same time. And I couldn't do breakfast dishes and bathe the children and do all those things at the same time. So I had dishes in my sink. That was just me. Now the dishes aren't in the sink all the time anymore. So it will change. So we're going to be using On Your Table, to Keep It Simple, Sisters, because Keep It Simple, Stupid didn't seem like really nice for me to tell you. So we are going to Keep It Simple, Sisters. Okay, and if I could find page one of my talk, we would be doing really well. All right. So we've gotten our reaction to what Christmas is like. So we're going to look now at keeping the main thing, the main thing. And in all of our holidays, I really think the main thing is Jesus. It certainly is, you know, in Christmas, we're celebrating his birth. But for Thanksgiving, you know, we're giving thanks to God for all that he has done for us. So that's the main thing we want to make sure. So filling in that, we have Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. That's on your sheet. I rarely speak at a MOPS activity or something where I don't quote this. It says, it's Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then Moses says this. He's getting ready for the Israelites to cross over into the Promised Land. He's not going, okay, but there will be people going, and he's giving them this last kind of information. He says, the law of God, that's what he's talking about, impress them on your children. Talk to them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. And we could add to that things like, you know, we need to do that when we do the dishes and when we take a walk outside or when we're decorating for Christmas or when we're setting the table for Thanksgiving. The opportunities are endless. And I think that's what Moses is meaning here, is that everything is an opportunity to talk to your children about the law of God. Not necessarily will we be passing on only like the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament that they had. And of course, they didn't have a good deal of the Old Testament. It was just Exodus we're in. So for those of you who know the Bible, it's Genesis and Exodus was all that they had, even though some books was actually written before then chronologically. But speaking, they were looking at the laws of God. And I think in life, because life is so busy, we can forget the main thing. I found this story, and it just blew my mind. It was about the London Transit Authority some years ago, and people were writing in and complaining to the newspaper that the buses were zipping by their bus stop and not stopping for them. And, you know, could you please, we've tried to complain to the London Transit Authority, what can we do? And the Transit Authority did clearly present their explanation in the paper, and it says, it is impossible for us to maintain on schedule if we are always having to stop to pick up passengers. They forgot what the main thing was. Their main thing was to pick up passengers. And we can forget our little ones in the chores that we have to do and getting ready for in-laws coming for Thanksgiving and so on. So in a minute, we're going to get some of these things here. And that's why I have asked you to put your names in here, because I hope by the end of this night, everything up here will be gone. Oh, could you, you hold a baby. Somebody who has, Marin, could you just write 1 through 10 on, because some of them I'm giving out to a whole table. Okay, the whole table gets them. So let's look at Thanksgiving. One of the things, it's right in it, Thanksgiving, giving of thanks. And obviously the person that we need to foremost give thanks to is God. One simple thing, especially if you've got like a four-year-old and above, one thing that you could do as a family is memorize Psalm 100. It is 5 verses long. That would be something that you could do as a family. How cool would that be to say that on Thanksgiving morning? You can tell or read to your children about the first Thanksgiving. Some kids really don't have a clue as to why we celebrate Thanksgiving. One thing that we've done from time to time, not every year, but we put 5 kernels of corn, and some of you may do this, by a person's place. And that was to kind of commemorate that at one point, that's all they had to eat was 5 kernels of corn a day, the early pilgrims, because there was such a famine in the area. So as we went around the table, you know, somebody would take their kernel and put it in the center and say, I'm thankful for this, and another person, I'm thankful for that. Try to do that before the food is done, because if you don't, no one's thinking really what they're thankful for. I'm thankful that my mother will stop talking so that we can eat dinner. So be careful how you place that. Other things you can do is volunteer to provide items for a food basket for a needy family. That's a great thing. Emmanuel, if you're an Emmanuel attender, we do that here. It's so good for your children to really understand that not everybody has enough food and that we can be part of the solution for some people. That's a great thing for kids. Now, I have up here 2 thankful trees. That's what we always called them. Just a simple branch in some styrofoam. And on it, I put some leaves up here. And you could go around and have your children fill them out, or you can write it in for them, especially this one, but it's best for them to write it when they're not on the tree. And you could ask them what they're thankful for. That is a cool thing, because you know what? You can keep that year after year, or write it in a journal or something and have a journal that tells you the history of your family. I started mine last year, it never occurred to me before. And then all these young moms talked about, we have a Thanksgiving journal, and every year I take it out and we write who was at our table, at home, and what we ate and what we were thankful for. And it's like, oh yeah, my kids are 30 almost, and so on. But it's never too late. So one of these trees is going to Christy Gann, is it? I'm just going to put, rather than you come up and get it now, Christy, I'm just going to have put it right here. You'll know which is yours. Okay, and the other one is Hoa, right? Ho? Hwa. Ah. You got me again. So you'll be able to bring this one home to Hwa. Thank you. I'm very, very phonetic here, as you can tell. And then do we have the tables 1 through 10? Are they up here yet? Are those numbers 1 through 10? Can I have them? Oh. When we get that done, what we'll do is I will pull out. Those are little ones from Oriental Trading Company. Some of you have these. But if they're used from last year and you've written things about what you're thankful for, you'll have a new one. Some of you will have your first one. But what a great visual for you to work with your children to give thanks. That's not easy to do. I mean, when you're walking through the store, how many of you did the are still planning to do, because I know there's some drop-offs later, but the Operation Christmas Child? Yeah, how did it go with your little toddler? I remember those days. You know, we're picking out a little thing for somebody in another country, and I want that. No. That's not for you. That's for somebody that you will never meet, that you will never go to their birthday party. But, you know, it's really hard to teach them how to do that. But as we ask them to be thankful, that will be really very, very helpful. Okay, so the thankful trees go to table 4. Okay, so afterwards, you just come up and get yours. Okay, we're keeping the main thing the main thing. So we're looking at Christmas time and about Jesus' birthday. The obvious thing is I think that I would encourage each one of you to have a manger scene in your home, especially one that kids can hold. You will be amazed at how much they play with that little manger scene. You may even find a camel in the manger. You may find things all over the house. But, you know, as they're doing that, they're really owning that story themselves. Sometimes at dinner time, we'd take all the manger pieces out and we'd put them around the dinner table and we'd have the kids say, what do you think this character or this animal, sometimes it might have been the angel or the star itself, what do you think that angel was thinking? What do you think Joseph was thinking? That's a great thing to get your kids' minds involved in. I don't know. My mom has never told me. So get them to think, critically think. Okay, do you think Mary was happy? Do you think she was scared? Do you, you know, and prime them if they don't come up with an answer. Another thing that we did was, and again, remember I said, and please get this, we did not do everything every year, nor did I do some of these things on here at all. But one of the things I like to do was keep Jesus out of the manger until Christmas Day. And what we would do would, when I caught my kids doing something kind to one another or just being helpful, I would take, well, it was really cut up paper, but we called it straw. And we would put it in the manger itself. So we were making a nice soft bed for Jesus so that when he came on Christmas morning, he, you know, it would be our good deeds and it would be our kindness that really made a cushiony bed for him. Some people do an Advent wreath. Those of you that know what that is, it's just kind of like a round wreath that has 4 candles and a 5th one in the middle. And 4 weeks from Christmas on a Sunday is the usual start of it. And some books have Advent just weekly. So every Sunday before Christmas, you can celebrate another aspect of the Christmas story, but you can also find one that has something for every night. We had friends that on the Sunday, the special Advent, when they lit the candles, they would eat by those candlelights. And I imagine those children are going to have that same thing when they become moms and dads. They're going to be doing that same thing too. If you don't have an Advent book or anything like that, you can Google, believe me. But you can also get something down at the bookstore here or any Christian bookstore that would have something to help you out with that. Many people have birthday parties for Jesus. In fact, I think we will be having a birthday party for Jesus on the date of, does anybody know it offhand? 13th of December. If you've never come, oh, please bring your little ones to it. It is such a great time. And there'll be a cake. And we always had a cake for Jesus when our kids were little. So to remember that, another reason I've done this is because I have countless things ripped out of books that I was going to do with my children, but never had the time. So I'm trying to help you out with some of these things. Okay, Carrie, Edel, all right, so that'll be up here waiting for you, Carrie. In it, it tells you how to do the proper cake for, you know, what the symbolism on the cake, because any time that we can pass on a truth to our children is time well spent. There's things like the legend of the candy cane, why it's shaped the way it is, the 12 days of Christmas. One thing we like to do in our house is a stocking for Jesus, that we put our stockings up, but we'd also have one for Jesus. And we'd have our kids write in something that they wanted to give Jesus that year. Well, they had to struggle with that a little bit, because what would they give him? Their truck, their doll, what would they really give him? So sometimes it became, I'm going to be kinder to my sister. I'm going to make my bed every morning. You know, something that they could do that was either obedient to us or kind to somebody else. And we just left him in the stocking that year so we can look at him the following year. Now, I'm going to project a little in the future, because as our kids got older and, you know, are gone to college and so on, what we did with the Christmas, with the Jesus stocking, was we would put gifts that we gave in their honor. We would find, like, Samaritan's Purse has something, or World Vision, International Justice Mission. Those are all great organizations that serve either the underprivileged or the abused. And we find something that kind of lines up with who they are. We've done that for family members too. Like I have a sister-in-law who's a doctor, so we often give her for Christmas that we have put money to Samaritan's Purse for immunizations in another country. So we find something. Our youngest daughter is really passionate about stop sex trafficking. So we often, you know, do some rehabilitation, give some money for that, for these groups that help women who have been, like, really kidnapped and abused, to kind of integrate them back into society. So that's something that you can tuck in your head. Your kids won't understand it now, but now is their time to put something into the Jesus stocking. So I have two Jesus stockings. Anwin, Charmin? Okay, Anwin?
You get the one that says Jesus on it. And since there were not endless letters, the other one is getting Lord.
So it will be your Lord stocking. And that's Ann Briney. You'll get your Lord stocking.
Lots of things out there for Christmas.
Let me tell you about one website that I think is probably the most amazing website that I have ever come across for things to do with toddlers. And unfortunately, she was probably a toddler when I had toddlers, the woman who did this. But, you know, she is the woman that I will look at and say, how can she do it all? And I've just got to give that back to God. I couldn't do what she does. She homeschools. She has this blog and so on. But it's called Hubbard's Cupboard. Okay? Now, cupboard is an interesting one because it's really cupboard. Okay? But I think because there was an old Mother Hubbard, we kind of, you know, dropped cupboard. And now, so it's Hubbard's Cupboard. And let me just read you something that she wrote on her blog. She had kind of chronicled their whole Christmas and was afraid that maybe some people would say, well, your kids probably just like the games and, you know, how do you really keep it God-honoring? But she says, so, you know, for the naysayers, so to speak, we do pray that these young minds, she's talking about our children, and hearts are developing precious memories to carry with them as they age, but also so much more. We desire for there to be depth to our children's memories, looking past the actual crafts with a shimmering glitter and splattered paint, through the yummy Christmas treats experiments, around the daily countdown, and over the gifts that begin to appear under the Christmas tree, and straight to the cross. For in the midst of all the activity, we try to focus on the why of the season. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Because in the midst of a dark world, God chose to send his Son to bring us light, to be light. And trapped by our own rebellion and sins, God sent his one and only Son into the world to redeem us, to save us from our sins. Isn't that lovely? So that's what I'm trying. She said it so much more eloquently than I could say, but she wanted to pass on the truth to her children. This is something from that website, and it is, you know, one of those chains that you could make with your children. But in it, there's 25 days of scripture of the Christmas story. If you go online, there's also, and I cut it out because I thought, no, I'll drive you guys crazy. But there's only also 25 days of crafts you could do with your child. But that's on the website. So two people who get these are Jen Haymaker, and Allison Clappel.
Sorry. So that's that.
Another thing, and let's fill in your blank now, because everybody's probably saying, hey, she's gotten this far, and we haven't filled in that blank. So God wants us to know about him so we can pass on what we know onto our children. Our main thing should be focusing our children to know God. So that's keeping the main thing the main thing. There's a couple other things I have up here that I'll give away now. These are all tools to teach. So table number 5 is going to get this one here, and it is Oriental Trading Company. And here's your manger scene, and here are your characters, and your children can put that on there. Sorry if you have more than one child. You're going to have to figure that one out.
I'm not sorry that you have more than one child. Let me just put that.
I think it's great. A couple other things. Here, this is down from our bookstore, but I love these. This one's The Story of Christmas, and it's got little stickers in for little hands. And, you know, I so like that fine motor skill, you know. Just saying. So, Marin Asherber. Okay, well,
I'll just give that to you right here.
And then, Happy Birthday, Jesus. This is from the really woolly thing. Jennifer Fadden.
That'll be up here.
And then these two Klingons. I mean, this is so cool. It goes right on a refrigerator, or it goes on the window. The kids can move them. I got this at Walmart. 94 cents, 90, oh, inflation, 97 cents. Angela Parsons, you'll get one. And Sarah Benjamin. Okay, this we spend the most time on, don't we now? Okay, well, we'll get the rest of these things. We'll just move on. Okay, the next thing is to invest in family traditions. And I do have a warning. There's a caution there. For some families, if you do something 2 years in a row, it becomes a tradition to a child. My kids would forget it from year to year. I was like, great. So some things I could do again and again, and... But, you know, even so, I was talking to Meg today, and one of the things that we did traditionally, Ingrid, could you go into the kitchen? You'll find some heavy cream and a glass in there. Would you bring that here? Because we did have some things that we did year after year that were easy for me to do. Now, let me tell you about the way I look at Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not a child's holiday. You know, it's up to us to make it that way. Because people are either interested in eating, watching football, and some people have to prepare the meal. Okay, and so there's a little stress there. So I thought, what can I do with my children that will help them to feel a part of it? So I had some simple things that we did. This is one of them.
I'm going to have you take it back to your table because you're in the back. We're going to make butter. That's right. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
That was the coolest thing.
Remembered that.
Okay. You can just pass it around your table. And you guys just keep shaking. Let us know when you get butter.
Okay. Now, is that a simple thing to do with your children? Okay. When you get done, you get buttermilk and butter. Now, one thing that one website said to put a marble in it. Did you hear that?
You can put a marble in it.
Okay, it just gives a, you know, probably a little bit more oomph in the middle of it. It gives them something to listen to maybe sometimes too. But I thought, you know, this is something they can do. Something that my kids did every year. And I still think they would do it now if I had it. Maybe I will do it this year for Thanksgiving. But they strung Fruit Loops. And they made necklaces and bracelets and so on. Now, these are called the strawberry laces. It's hard to find these. They're just not everywhere. This was at A.C. Moore. And some years I couldn't find it, so I would just use yarn and put, like, a little tape at the end of the yarn so the yarn wouldn't spray. Fray. And then we would just make it that way. Now, something that you could do, and this is, you know, do not be too controlling. Okay? Did you all hear that? But it could be a time that you could work on patterns with your children. Okay, you have a yellow, you have a green, you have, I don't know what colors they come in now, orange. Can you repeat that? And they could start doing a pattern. But if you're going over there, nope, now the orange one. Nope. I said the orange one. That would not be so good. So I will give this away, but you'll have to go buy your own Fruit Loops, okay? And this goes to Kara Waldrop. Okay, enjoy that. He needs some Fruit Loops. Okay, and sometimes I would get, you can buy at the party store some blank placemats. And I would have my kids when they got to be four-ish. I mean, when the oldest was four, the other ones were younger. So some of them did that too, but it was a little bit more scribble. But I would have them make placemats. Draw, you know, why don't you draw the first Thanksgiving? Draw a pilgrim. Draw an Indian. And so on. And they don't last but that meal, but it keeps them busy and feels like they're a part of the celebration. So that's Thanksgiving. For Christmas, oh, traditions. You know, I did say that my kids could forget, but one thing they added on to a tradition, you know, and now it's like set in stone, and I don't know how it morphed into this, but still to this day they'll do it. When our kids were young, we wanted to come down in age order so the shortest one could be seen in the pictures and so on, or not be overrun by the older ones. And for some reason, two stair steps got mixed in with that. And even to this day, they'll joke with me and say, okay, age order, two steps apart. And, you know, if anybody knows our family, it's rare that we would all be together on a holiday anymore because I have kids that like to go overseas for their work or for missions. And so the last two Thanksgivings that Ryan was, or Christmases that Ryan was away, he's on the computer. But we have him on his step, on the right step. We were Skyping with him. And that was really cool. And then someone takes a picture of that, and that's a real good memory. We love to watch It's a Wonderful Life together. But I think at this age, you know, your kids aren't going to sit through that whole thing. But the ages of your children, we went around often, many nights, and looked at Christmas lights. Okay, get the hot chocolate and the sippy cups and make it an event for your family. We had a traditional Christmas Eve meal that our kids looked for. No, they didn't. They hate spaghetti. But that was my tradition. And my mom made spaghetti. So that's what we made. And they put up with it. Now they like to not do that one anymore. We made ornaments. One thing that we did that was really fun, and that's a sad part of my kids not being here because Tom and I aren't really good runners. But and I know other people in the church have done it for other families, but we have done the 12 days of Christmas for other families. And we have, sometimes it's been somebody who really needs a turkey and needs the food. And so, you know, for that family, we would get like just canned goods and money for a turkey or like a gift card. But every night, 12 days before Christmas Eve, we would go to that person's house, ring the doorbell, run back, run away, and there would be a gift waiting outside their door. And, you know, sometimes it was it was a very sad year for some friends of my daughter. She was actually dying of cancer. And so we did that for their family just to cheer them up. It was not a need that they had food. So we didn't give them those things. We just gave them silly things. And another one of her friends' family had gotten a divorce. The parents had gotten a divorce. So, you know, we looked at who has a need that we can bless. And, you know, sometimes we'd tell them who we were eventually, and sometimes we didn't, especially those that really had a real financial need. We just didn't let them know who did it. But that for 12 nights, they knew that they would be blessed. Some people do it in groups of 12. So your family takes day one, your family takes day two, and you can really bless a family that way. So maybe, you know, within your friends, you can think of that. Okay, I think I'm out of order here. Okay, talk amongst yourselves for a second. Oh, nope, I'm here. I'm back. Okay. The next one is to simplify the holidays, to make something less complicated and therefore easier to do. And that's what that blank is. So that's the definition of that. To simplify the holidays, simplify means to make something less complicated and therefore easier to do. For Thanksgiving, we made dinner that we knew the kids would like. You know, I remember, growing up with creamed onions and succotash and all that stuff. And we have never done that. We put in things that our kids would really, really like. You can make dessert ahead with your children. There's a lot of recipes for turkey cupcakes and so on. But one thing that we could do ahead and leave for our guests or our neighbors was what was called the blessing mix. And this blessing mix is to take normal things that you could use for snacks like Bugles, pretzels, candy corn, and so on. And there's this cute little thing here that a table's going to get that will tell what each one is. The Bugles are shaped like a cornucopia, a symbol of our nation's abundance. Pretzels are like arms folded in prayer of freedom sought by those who founded our country. This is a great teaching tool for your kids. You can find that online. I know you're going to think, I did kind of mix these up, and now this is table six. So you'll get the cornucopia. All right. And now for Christmas. We decorated sugar cookies. Now, I think the mother who makes her own and rolls it out is the salt of the earth. I have done that, but sometimes that just doesn't happen. And so I get that nice little thing that you can cut up and you can give the kids with sprinkles. Now, here's a mix. You don't even have to refrigerate. And here's your sprinkle. So this is what something that we did to simplify our lives was those type of cookies. And the kids love decorating them. Okay, Margaret Green. That will be yours. I'm sure he will enjoy it. Only makes 12. You're good. One thing I think was probably the best thing we did to simplify Christmas was at one point I thought, you know, this is really getting out of hand. When do I know when I'm done? When do I know? Because there's always something else you can buy and this and that. And so because I didn't know, we decided that because the Jesus was giving three gifts, that's what we would give to our children. We have stockings. Those are pretty fantastic. But the gifts that they got now when they were younger was three. We had a gold gift, a frankincense, and a myrrh gift. The gold gift was the one that they really wanted. You know, like we would like gold. And so whatever they had really been begging for or tell us about, that would be the gold gift. The frankincense is like incense used in worship. So for that gift, we gave them something spiritual. Like a children's Bible or what is the, it's not McGee and Me anymore, but the Odyssey tapes, like one of them might have gotten the Odyssey tapes and so on. And then the myrrh was symbolic of what they needed to bury people, the spices that they used to wrap the people who had died, which Jesus needed. And so for that one, it was a need, like if they really needed a new pair of cleats or something, or they needed a new jacket. But we wanted something that was filling a need for them. And combine forces with another family. We've got some great video of the Hollies and our family acting out Christmas. And if you know David and Megan, David is their youngest boy, who's a year older than our Megan. And Megan is our youngest. And she kind of really kind of terrorized David. And so one year we decided they'd be Mary and Joseph. And in the background you hear just screaming going on. They hadn't entered yet. And one of the older boys goes, that must be Mary in labor. But it's a great memory that we've got on video. So combine forces with another family. And the last thing I'm going to talk about is savor the memories. One of my favorite verses in the Bible follows after Jesus was born, the star, the angels, the shepherds. And that was such an amazing time. I can't even imagine what that would have been like for Mary, that she must have been so amazed at all these things. I mean, imagine, you know, I mean, months earlier she was told that she was going to bear the Messiah. That would be hard enough to get your mind around. But now, like, you know, the star and the shepherds and so on. But it says that in Luke 2:18, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And that's what I'm hoping that we will be able to do, that Christmas won't just come and go and be so fast that we don't even have time to have memories. So one of the things for Thanksgiving is this Thanksgiving journal over here. And that's going to Deidre Johnson.
So, and
like I said, I just started my first one last year, and each year I will add on to it. Unfortunately, I cannot find mine right now. I was going to bring it and show. Well, look what I did last year. So, as you can see, that's one of the reasons that we never did things twice in a row. I couldn't remember what they were. But so, and spend the day together, make time for your children at Thanksgiving. And for Christmas, you can do the same thing, but you can buy those more so, you know, the memory albums that you can put in your Christmas letter, your Christmas card, some pictures. One thing that we did was we always kept our Christmas cards in a basket that we had received from other people, and each night we would pick out one and pray for that family. And then I had stick figure, remember, it was just a stick figure, faces of our family, and I made it into a postcard, and so we'd send that off to our friends to let us know, you know, our friends know that, you know, we were praying for you. Any way that we could share our faith and get our children to understand that too. So there's lots to think about, there's lots to prepare, but hopefully you're going to remember to keep it simple, sisters, this year. Thank you. Sorry, two more table things. So, okay. Oh, table. Table number 8. This is a Christmas ornament. It's simple. I just downloaded it off and put paper on it. There are some others up here too. And I chose this verse. I didn't make it. I chose this verse because it says, "Oh, tidings of comfort and joy." And that's what I'd like you to take away this time, that you're going to bring tidings of comfort and joy to your family. And then there's another thing here that's Christmas with M&Ms, and I really must have left the M&Ms at home. Ha ha, so terrible. But table number 2 we'll get to take home, and it talks about, let me just read it to you. As you hold these candies in your hand and turn them, you will see the M's become a W and Z and then a 3. They tell the Christmas story. I'm sure it's one you know. It took place in a stable a long, long time ago. The E is for the east, where there was no Z. The E is for the east, where the stars shone so bright. The M is for the manger, where the baby Jesus slept at night. The 3 is for the wise men bearing gifts with which they came. W is for worship. Hallelujah. Praise his name. So as you eat these candies or share them with a friend, remember the meaning of Christmas. It's a love that never ends.